socially, I still think of myself as a professional dancer dancing socially. Okay, meaning I don't do less. I'm still bringing all of my years of experience to the embrace, right? So that I want to say, number one. Comfort is crucial. Comfort is crucial. And the position of the embrace, the way the embrace is taken, when I am trusted that I can move myself instead of being moved, you know?
Cabeceo. Einladung zum Gespräch über den Tango Argentino. Ein Podcast von Heinz Duschanek.
Dear Diana Cruz, I'm really happy that you are here, not only in Vienna, although you leave tomorrow and go back to Buenos Aires. You are a tango dancer, a teacher. You do so many things. It's overwhelming. Let's talk about this later. But first of all, thank you that you came here.
Thank you for having me.
The usual first question in this podcast is asking the guest, how did he or she met Tango Argentino and what was the reason to get into it really and to dive into it deeper? So what was the first encounter for you of you with Tango Argentino?
My first encounter was I used to be a ballet dancer, ballet and contemporary dance. And in Paraguay, I am originally from Paraguay. And if anyone wants to do something more or expand their dance career, usually is leaving the country in regards to Paraguay. So the first country I chose, it could be either Brazil or Buenos Aires, Argentina. So I chose Buenos Aires, Argentina. I wanted to see it, and I went to continue the career there. And I thought, okay, since I'm there, I have to have a contact with Tango Argentino. But it was brief. It was a nice experience, but my interest was somewhere else, right? So I know that I stayed in my body and my experience for some time, but I didn't follow it. And then continue my ballet contemporary dance career, went to the United States, and I was dancing there for some time, maybe 2 years, and then I got injured badly, usually how every ballet dancer stops their career. I think I was 20, in my early 20s, and I thought, this is the end of my life, because I started dancing since I was 7. So at that age, one thinks, oh my God, what do I do, right? Of course, there is more to life than that, but to me, it felt, what am I going to do now? And a friend told me, because my injury was knee and hip, so no impact, I couldn't do heavy impact dance. And my friend, who used to be a ballet dancer, who got into tango at the time in the US, told me to come to, you know, there is a class, a tango class, maybe this will make you happy. And I remember my first encounter with tango, and I thought, yes, it definitely will make me happy. I know, I had a very good feeling about
it.
From the
very first lesson?
And this is related to when I took, because I did take the classes in Buenos Aires, and it was brief. I remember having a beautiful experience about it. It's just I didn't feel like I needed to deepen my experience. But when this happened, when I was already in the United States and couldn't continue dancing ballet, and my friend invited me, the first, when I hear the invitation for a tango, I thought, this is going to be a good experience, because maybe because I had the experience before, but also, I don't know, some sort of fate, I think sometimes. I jumped in right away. I go to the class, and the class was Nick Jones, who later became my partner, and a friend, Amy Anderson. they were teaching the class, and I absolutely loved it, of course, and I'm changing partners, and I'm flying, right? I'm in my element somehow.
But you knew already the basic steps and elements?
No.
Or just you learned how to follow, essentially?
I will say that. But I think that later, and of course, looking back, and also something that my partner, Nick Jones, it was his class, remember, and said after that is that he says that, and I think I agree in a way that my body, in Spanish there is a word that we use that maybe in English it could be the walk, but it doesn't translate. In Spanish it's andar. El andar de alguien, the way of moving more than just walking, the way of carrying yourself around the world.
So it's walking, but with a deeper meaning.
With a deeper meaning, yeah. Absolutely. It's the way of carrying your being, your body, your energy in the space. Andar, A-N-D-A-R. I think that he at the time he said that my andar had tango in it, and I didn't know what it meant. I was like, sure, whatever, you know, great. But it felt so great, the first class. And at the same class, after the class, there was a practica, and Nick asked me to dance, and we were flying. I didn't know much. That was probably I probably took 5 classes 3 years ago in Buenos Aires, and then now I was dancing with Nick, which at the time he was dancing for 15, 20 years already. And it felt so familiar, so comfortable. And I was like, wow. And he was also wow. And he told me then, you are the partner for my tango life. And I was like, what does that mean? What is that? Later, in looking back, I will say, sure, my background of ballet or meaning, I should say, my background in dance, in how I experienced the dance and how I explored the dance, could have influenced how I felt and how I experienced and how I follow the first dance that made Nick, someone who already have been dancing for a long time, decide that I had it already in my body. It could have been that. But then in my days when I want to get esoteric and like and think in something else, I go, yeah, sure, maybe there is something in my andar that is past my understanding or past what I can describe, that it is in my body, is that rhythm and that. There is another word in Spanish again that I really like to use. It's the word duende, which, if you translate it directly to English, is like the elf. But Lorca, a Spaniard writer poet, he uses it something similar as the muse, You know that fleeting, I don't know what, ineffable thing that shows up when the expression hits its highest. That's what tango was for me. The structure of it, the way of communicating, the embrace. It was just there, and I just caught it. That's the only way I can explain to it. And of course, after the first experience, we started. He was serious. He's like, okay, and now we start our journey. And he was, I will say that I was extremely fortunate, very, very fortunate, because first, I had already a tango partner that chose me, I will say, or we chose for each other before I even planned to do anything with tango. It was already set. And I was in Colorado. This is in Denver, Colorado. And in Colorado, that was the year that Giselle N. and Gustavo Naveira were maybe for the second time in the U.S. and then decided to move to that same city. So exactly there. And to me, they are my teachers. To me, they show me tango in a way that that I could understand, I guess, the way my mind work, and I can say that in what that means in a moment, because that's also what I use now. I use it until now, and that's also the way I think of. That's the way I teach. That's the way I think of the dance. That's the way I organize it, and that's the way I teach it. And so I say that I was very fortunate because Nick Jones was so sure that we had something to bring together as a dance as a dance partnership, that he decided to put aside everything that he knew until the moment and start with me as a beginner to study with Gustavo and Giselle. And he did it. It was amazing.
On the other hand, he could form you according to his ideas, and you did not bring in your own ideas, so there was less conflict, I guess.
Absolutely. No, I agree completely, because I will say this, is a tango partnership, and any tango partnership will agree with that, is challenging, right? It's challenging. Yes, he was bringing, he had a whole set of knowledge in his body already that he could have been my teacher, and I would have been honored to be the student. But he said that when we met to dance, he didn't think of me as a beginner, in the sense of, like, I don't have anything to offer, right, as a dancer, because my many years of dance experience, just not necessarily in tango. So in his mind, and in mine at the time, I mean, I look back and I go, yeah, that's right. None of us were a beginner, but we were a beginner in our dance together. Like, we were a beginner in working together, right? So we had to start as a beginner. Then he could, if we were going to dance together, he couldn't be the teacher and me the student. We had to start as beginner, both of us. And I thought that was... That was ideal.
So it was on the same level, working on the same level from the very beginning.
Exactly right.
Then you're lucky.
It really accelerated our experience of building a dance partnership because of that, I think, very mature decision of understanding that because we are getting together right now, although every knowledge that we had before is valid and valuable, they need to not put aside, but just kind of like, well, in a way, is aside, but still inside of the project, right? But both with a mind of what is the way we can start both of us as a beginner. And we thought choosing a teacher and learning everything we could from teachers, right? They are our teachers until the day today, although we work aside with them. And in fact...
So you had private lessons with him?
Mostly group lessons.
Group lessons.
Okay. Yeah, we are there mingling with everyone else and taking, Gustavo and Giselle teach a lot of seminars. They have these intensive seminars with specific topics, and I think it's like 12 hours each, and just delving into this, and so we started doing those with everyone. And I have to say, when I talk about what was from Gustavo and Giselle way of teaching that really resonated with me, was to look at the dance and decode it in a way, meaning to go deep into the structure of the dance, to find what is the underlying grammar that is there all the time, despite of the sequences that we usually learned when we first start tango. We usually learn this sequence and this other sequence and this other sequence, and then we try to put it all together and maybe in different order, and that's what we call improvisation, which I think is one way of improvising something, meaning grabbing little pieces of choreographic sequences that we memorize and put it in different orders, and then it can work. But to me, I wanted to understand where it all came from. I wanted to be able to...
Not the history of tango, but where does it come from the body, from the communication of two bodies. Do I understand that right?
Yes. Okay. So maybe I can give an example through learning a language. English is now my first language, as you may have realized.
Same here.
It's, like, it's true, you're right. But when I learned English, I had to learn the rules of constructing the sentences, which in a way it was, some things are similar than Spanish, but a lot of things are not, right? So simple example, like putting the noun and the adjective, right? So the order that you put the noun and the adjective, I don't know,
yeah, no.
Full glass, right?
Not glass
we
full.
Don't say glass full, right? So we say, in Spanish, you can say the other way, both. You can say both, right? You can say vaso lleno, lleno el vaso. You can play a little bit, but in English, it has its rule. It has to be that way, right? So that's a rule that is underlying every time you're going to construct, you have that rule. Does that make sense? And it's not only for the glass and the full and the adjective. It's for anything that is a noun and an adjective, right? So that means that this rule goes all over the language of English. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Until there, tango has such thing. Tango has this underlying structure, these specific rules that are underlying the dance the entire time. And just like when you first learn a language, you usually learn sentences like, I don't know. My name is.
Good morning.
Exactly. Good morning. Your greetings.
Phrases.
Exactly. You learn phrases. But then eventually, when you understand the rules and the underlying grammar, you can say something like, Diana is my name. So you can start changing, rearrange it, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you can elaborate it a little bit more as, I was called Diana because my mother thought of it. So you can start being a little bit more deep into telling
and
your
creative.
Name. Exactly. I think tango, I think tango has the same. Tango has this underlying structure in, well, when we first, depending on the style of teaching, there are styles of teaching that always teach you phrases and phrases and phrases and phrases, an accumulation of phrases. But there is the style of teaching that goes deep into teaching you the underlying structure of the whole language so that you understand it well enough and you can make your own way of speaking it. I don't know if that's the best way I can put it. And Giselle and Gustavo did that for me and for Nick and I. They showed us they took their long exploration of finding it, both evenly, by the way, and then they teach it, right? They teach it nowadays. Like, if anyone wants to go in depth, please, my teachers. I offer my teachers to them. And for me, the experience was, I didn't know better. I knew this after. I didn't know that usually the leader, the male dancer, oh, no, I should say the leader, because there is also female dancers, right? Female leaders. The role of I would call it the role of the man in the couple, in the tango couple, the role of the man can be done by the woman as well, right? So it's like, I say this because the word leader, we don't necessarily use it so much in Spanish, right?
How would you say in Spanish?
We say either el rol del hombre o la marca. La marca, el que lleva. El que lleva, which is the one who carries. The one who carries. I don't know if that's a good translation. I apologize if
yeah, no problem. But here, I think it turns also a little bit from leader, follower to proposer and interpreter.
Something, yeah, it could be, but it could be definitely. It could be something like that. But in Spanish, I never heard. I didn't grow up with this idea, right? So because, like el guía. I'm trying to think like. El guía and the follower. I don't know. We just don't use la marca o el que lleva. This is usually what we say, right? But anyways, my point, what I wanted to mention is that with Gustavo and Giselle, to me, I was always, of course, looking when I was first learning, I was looking to Giselle, the follower, because I was learning the following part. But I wasn't just learning the technicality of things, meaning how do I perform what is in the mind of the leader. I wanted to know what is in the mind of the leader, right? So as a follower, I wanted to know the role of the men evenly as the role of the follower. But because I have Giselle as my teacher and as my role figure, I will ask her, right? So I will approach Gustavo as well, but I will approach her, and she will know perfectly well what exactly was happening in the role of the men, in the role of the leader, to create what is happening in the role of the follower. So she was speaking to me evenly, as everything that I needed to know from the leader, she was able to. Of course, Gustavo will. I will also ask Gustavo, and he will tell me maybe from a different perspective, right? But the perspective of the follower, understanding the lead and the structure of the dance, the fact that she knew the structure of the dance as much, even if she's not leading it, she knew it maybe even better. I will say, Gustavo may be upset about this if I say it, but to me, I will ask questions. Sorry, Gustavo. I will ask questions that Giselle will know so well, and Gustavo will go, "Oh yeah, that's right. That's what I do, right?" So this is how I started my dance career. Of course, this is what I want to. Start teaching to, meaning this is what I teach, right? That the follower, or the one that does the role of the woman, knows exactly every possibility of the dance, because knows the underlying structure as much as the leader does. I didn't know that this is not what was happening out there, you know? So I go around life and teaching, you know, because I didn't take so many classes with other people. I didn't. Just because of the experience that I had, meaning in Denver when I was learning, they were the main teachers, and of course everyone, all the teachers go to study with them. So I don't have another teacher for a long time. And then I already start teaching because I'm so fascinated by this and I want to share this experience. Nick already had a name to go, so I'm going and teaching. So I present the dance like this. The follower knows exactly everything that the leader knows. And this was a shock, because a lot of followers will ask me, why do I need to know if I am being led? So why he can just, if he's a good leader, he will just make me dance, right? To me, this was like, no. And why not, maybe? Or I had to answer the question, why should I know this? a lot of followers will ask me, why do I need to know this?
Because the danger arrives that comes up that you try to co-lead or to have another idea. Isn't it true?
Completely. I agree with that fully, because I think I also didn't know that this was a problem. I started learning the difficulties of the communication, because I think this is a problem of communication. I started looking at it while going around the world, right? So simple, if you ask me a question, I don't expect you to put the answer in my mouth and in my mind to begin with and after in my mouth, right? You ask me the question, therefore I am the one who answers, right? So I will think about it. And I also don't expect that you interrupt me all the time. And I also think that if you start asking a question, I will just talk over you, and then you can, you know what I mean? It's like I think that there is this way of communicating where I'm not going ahead of you with my answer, right? So I'm trying to listen to you. Maybe you have a pause and then you tell me something and I let you finish your, you know what I mean? Like, so there is some sort of rule of conversation like this. So,
and I should give you the room for the answer and not already ask the next question and the next question and the next question and you just...
Exactly right. Or put the answer in my, you see what I mean?
So you make it to a slave. Or
exactly,
a puppet.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. A puppet. A puppet sounds a little bit more. This is how I thought when I went around, and the followers will ask me, why do I need to know the rules of the dance? Oh my God! So then you are a puppet of the leader, right? And it's still, by the way, I still find a resistance for both. For the leader and the follower, and I think I understand later I understood that yes, there is a problem that when the follower, I don't know why really, when the follower knows the possibilities that she could anticipate. I have heard this word a lot, anticipate and do it, right? Well, that was my next, mission. Right, to convey to the followers that knowing what is supposed to happen doesn't mean that you do it ahead or alone. We are still dancing together, mm-hmm. right? So for me, Giselle Ann, I will put her name always up there. In fact, I am so pleased and thankful for having the opportunity to learn from her firsthand. That later I asked her to work together. Nowadays we do have a project together, and we call it Tango Study from the perspective of the woman's role. We use woman's role because follower we can also use, but because this problem of the translation, right? The woman's role. If the man is doing the follower, he's doing the woman's role. Does that make sense?
Yes,
so
yeah.
if a woman is leading, she's doing the man's role in the dance, right? Because that's how it was built, right? So this is how we call it. And I propose her to work like this because I never saw this way of looking at the dance and elsewhere, and I thought, okay, who else to work with or who else to bring this concept across but with her? And we started to bring it to Europe as well. We are going to be in Berlin, in Hamburg in July. So the idea or the what we offer, the offer is for both. It's not just for followers. It's not followers technique only. Of course, there is always going to be technique, but it's not just followers' technique. It's not also to to teach for women that want to lead is not specifically for that. Meaning, yes, sure, they can come, but we are offering to regular tango couples or men and women that always take the classes like that, always, but to look the entire dance from the role of the woman. What is it that the woman needs to perform the structure of the dance? What is extra? What is not necessary, is what I mean, right? And what is it that every single follower, the one who does the role of the woman, needs to know to come and speak this dance? Like as a default, okay, you want to speak tango? Okay, this is what you need to know. And we bring it from there. Of course, that also means technique. This also means technique. But when I say structure of the dance, I'm not referring to the technique. I'm referring to how the dance is constructed. So I can say something as simple. I can give a simple example. The basic structure of the dance, what makes tango tango, is what Gustavo and Giselle named in Spanish el código de marcha. Code of walking. That's the only way we can say code of marching, but it doesn't work. It doesn't sound so good. A code of walking is the what some people call giro, which is in Spanish turn, or the molinete, or that as a basic structure of moving as in a tango dance. And
the rest is
and the rest it comes from there. It comes from the base. The ochos or changes of direction, the voleos or aerial figures, they call it, right? Or when the leg doesn't necessarily take a step, but it's in the air, the ganchos, the barridas. So everything comes from the basic code of walking that is always happening. So the follower is always walking around the leader in that way, even when the leader is in one place, accompanying it, going towards the trailing leg, the leader. So that's how this basic structure is, to Giselle and I, something that the follower has to know. Of course, how to perform it, meaning physically how to do it, is the job of is the category of the technique part, right? So in the technicality, I am very technical oriented, yes, very much. Like I am very biomechanically.
But it's necessary,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely, I think it is necessary. I think it they go hand in hand, of course, structure and technique. But I think that sometimes we confuse it, and sometimes we remain too much into the technicality of things. But what about understanding what the possibilities of the dance are, you know? And sometimes it can happen the other way around. Like sometimes we become too structural and we forget that there is a way that to do things more either comfortably or aesthetically pleasing, in that order, I think. Whenever I am looking into adopting a technique, I like to think a functionality and comfort first, meaning biomechanically what works that doesn't hurt. that is more or less a part of the regular biomechanics. With other dances, like with ballet, we go a little past that, right? So with ballet, we try to accomplish things that are a little far for the body. But I think that tango can remain, we can keep more or less, maybe the flexibility of the shoulder that we don't usually use so much as if you're not a dancer, usually we forget there is such thing as a flexibility of the shoulder. So whenever someone, my students come to me for working on technique, they run, they do some things that, okay, physically oriented, But the shoulders is a big problem. And the embrace happens up here in the top of the body. And that's where we need the space. So for me, it's like, oh, we gotta open the shoulder. So, but functionality first for me. And then the aesthetic, right? So there are certain things that I think that technically are not necessary, but they are pretty. So if it passes the comfort part, meaning if it is biomechanically possible, I like to go a little bit further into make it aesthetically pleasing, if that makes sense.
Dancing another style of dance, would this help to make you or me better in Tango Argentino, meaning like to be able to leave these sequences and sequence-oriented thinking? Like, for instance, I had the feeling that I also dance. I think Nick Jones also dances Lindy Hop and, yes, and blues.
Yes. Mm.
Does it help, or is it just a private another hobby to get free of this? Yeah, of this to be bound to sequences and elements and to bring in something which is really surprising, and not only, okay, bring in a step which I rarely do, but now I do it, which is also nice, but to bring in a new word, speaking that tango language, an entirely new word, a surprise.
Yeah, I think so. Does it help? I want to say yes. I want to say that it does help to have another dance in your, you know, in bajo la manga
experience.
Another one. I don't want to say that it is necessary, meaning that the only way to break your tango phrases, patterns that you're in Spanish, there is a word for it, muletillas, we call it, when you're talking and you always, whenever you don't know what to say, you say this word, or, you know, or, yeah. I mean, I'm sure I said many of those already.
Me too.
It's inevitable. I mean, muletillas are inevitable, but it's a good practice to get out of them, right, in order to compose better, right? I am not a good example of it in English, definitely, because it's probably not in Spanish either, so I'm just bragging about language right now. I want to say that it's not necessary. What it is necessary, I think, I mean, another thing that you could do instead of going and learning another dance is coming to learn fully the structure of the dance, tango dance. And this is my favorite thing to do. It makes my students suffer a lot. it makes them suffer a lot. I usually tell them, like, okay, this class is going to be structure. You're going to think a lot. I'm going to give you rules of the language. Like, for example, I will tell you, you can only put a noun after an adjective. You cannot put the other way around. For example, you know, like, I'm going to give you a simple example. Well, I don't know if it is simple, but I'll say it for tango and see if this makes sense, right? Whenever you take a step, or you're a follower, you're a leader, let's say you're going to lead as a, you're going to dance as the male role, and whenever your follower is going to go to your right or to your left, those are the only two directions of tango. There is no over or under, unless you're doing some, you know, stage tango, right? But regardless, she's going to land to your right or to your left, right? So this is it. There is only two directions, right? And whenever she go to your right, let's say to your right, she always has a leg that goes in a leg that trails, correct? She only has two legs, a leg that goes and a leg that trails, hopefully, right? Okay, sorry. And I will tell you, as a rule, to only step towards the leg that goes. So you're going to lead, whatever you lead, you can change directions also to the right, to the left, whatever, But your step as a leader, you have two options only. Either you don't step at all and just lead her to keep going, or you step only towards the towards the leg that goes. I call it the leading leg. My partner and I call it. And you start moving like that. And you stick to the rule. And you stick to the rule for half a song. And just see what the dance does. So I'm not telling you what to lead. And you can also lead your regular steps, your sequences, your regular choreographies. But I bet you soon will get out of it because I gave you a rule. And some of your sequences have going to the trailing leg. Does that make sense? Mm. To the leg that left. So just a simple exercise like that messes up with the regular structures that you have in your mind. You probably will forget about your technique, and that's okay. Whenever I teach a structural class, I don't put so much emphasis on the technique at the beginning. And then the students will just like, and then I give another rule, right? And then this, nope, it's up there.
So you need to be creative in order to fulfill that rule.
Absolutely.
And out of this, you get new ideas and get free of ready-made sequences you just put into the dance,
exactly,
you
know,
one
right
after the other one.
Exactly right. And the thing, but here's the thing. The thing is, it's not just anything. This is what makes, because sometimes the idea of improvisation, you play jazz, right? Or you
blues,
play,
music, yeah.
You improvising with someone doesn't mean you just do whatever you want.
No.
You know, there is a rule there. Mm. There is, I don't know, at least the beat, right?
Or
at
the
least
cadence.
And the cadence or the chord that
the
you're...
chords, yeah. Is,
okay, so you have some sort of set of rules, and if you get out of it, it will be dissonant, right? So it maybe...
Which
you,
is also very exciting
very
for
exciting.
A while.
For a while.
If it's always dissonant, okay.
I agree completely. I was just going to say, it can be interesting, but at least... you found what doesn't work, and in that way you are exploring, right? You are exploring. I think the tango has this possibility also, because there is such thing as that rule that I'm talking about. There is such thing as something constant underlying the whole dance. That's the code of walking. After a forward comes a side. After a side comes a back. After a back comes a side. It has a specific rhythm when it is a circle. It has a different rhythm when it is a line. Changes of duration, five of them. You know, like, you just have all these things that if the leader can, if the follower, if imagine, if both of us know this, but I'm still, as a woman, sorry, as a doing the role of the woman I am following, and you doing the role of the man you're leading, but we both know it, and we both know these possibilities, the conversation and the level of composition gets to a different level. So my quest is to bring this to dancers. And it's been a journey. It's been a challenge, because I do find resistance sometimes. It's like, you know, I will go to a place and no, they just want to know a sequence. That's it. Give me something that I can memorize. Don't explain me how this, where this came from and what is it for and how do you eat it and nothing, you know. Don't even tell me how to fit it in the music. I have had a lot of that. And the thing is to be able to play with that and also respect that, right? Because that's the way someone wants to learn. I respect it. This works for them. This is what keeps them dancing. If it is the other way,
it's
they won't come anymore.
Approach.
Completely.
Maybe it ends at the same
end result.
Target goal then, but it's a different approach. And then to decompose the sequences finally after a few years, to start to decompose them and put in things together in a new way, and maybe also reach them the same goal.
I fully agree with that. It's the same again. It's the same as learning a language. I have a very structuralist mind. For a while, I'm like, I put everything and it works like that. But then I realized, no, everybody learns like that. Wow, Eureka. There are many ways to learn. And I agree. I agree completely. And my quest nowadays, of course, if I am in a group class, I have to more or less have a base how I'm going to take this class, right? But how I'm going to carry this class. But if I am working privately with someone, I have to listen to the way this person learns. If the person, there are many ways of learning a language. Like sometimes you just have to, for 5 years, learn phrases. And you just say the exact same way, the same phrase when you want water, the same phrase when you want a cab, a taxi, and you just say it because that's what works, right? And eventually you get excited about learning how exactly it's constructed, or sometimes never. Sometimes never. Sometimes you just stay like that, right? And that's okay too. That's okay too. Like,
You have the ultimate embrace. You only do ribote, but you have the ultimate embrace.
Yep.
And every woman dies to dance with
that.
You.
It dies for that.
Just to get
exactly.
The feeling.
Yeah. You're technically, yes, that's right, that's right. You're technically comfortable. Your posture, your work on the embrace, this is the technical part, right? So it's like you have a way of grabbing the embrace, you know, your body, you name it. So you are able to give discomfort to each other. Maybe some followers only want that too, right? The composition is always the same in different orders, but it's comfortable. That is one way, and I have nothing against it other than the fact, I mean, the only thing to say about it is that the composition is the same, no matter what orchestra. Maybe you use cadences, right? Or, you know, that's where the element of the musicality part comes into, like, okay, pauses, double time, things like that maybe will make it like you're dancing to a different song now. But the composition is the same always. Basics, the same structure. Does that make sense? So, which is okay. It's one way as well. But I have to say that every time I tell this, particularly to leaders, they go, oh, shoot. I don't want that, right? I don't want to dance the same for her, like, sure, the embrace, but it almost every time the leader gets interested in this, okay, how can I break this pattern and come up with new ways of, sure, I still have my comfortable embrace, I still have my cadence and everything, but then I can add this element of excitement to the composition because it's never ending. The possibilities of it is, I don't know, like imagine you never read all the poems in any language because there is always a new way of saying something poetically. So that's composition and expression, right? So it doesn't get boring, right? You're not reading the same poem or writing it the same way every time because the composition is endless. There are many ways to say something beautifully, right? So I think like that about the dance. I think that sure, it's okay to say the same things every time with different sounds maybe, right? Different cadence. But it is so exciting to come up with a new phrase of because you understood how to use it. This is what I strive for.
I detect really similarities to playing blues on the guitar.
That is it.
Because when you play blues, usually you use the pentatonic scale, and which is a nice scale. It fits together all the time, always. And as a beginner, you really dig into that because it's so easy. It always sounds well. But then you end up in your own same phrases all the time. And finally, you reach a point where you can play your own phrases very well, but you don't know how to get rid of them again. Because why does Eric Clapton sound so fantastic when he plays? This sounds like making music, while when I play blues with the pentatonic scales, it sounds like someone who plays the pentatonic scale. And it's the same notes.
Absolutely. That's
so I see that in tango.
Same.
I also need to get to break same. Out of this of this pattern, although I have my own 2 feet and no more of them, and 2 hands and arms and my body. And still to make it very interesting for the follower.
Yeah.
Although we use the same steps, the same body parts.
Completely. And it is...
That's a secret then of becoming from a good tango dancer or a good blues musician to, into a great tango dancer and a great blues musician.
You know, I have this thing, oh my God, I think I'm going to say something that it probably will either... I don't know. I don't. I hope, hopefully, not upset, but maybe wary to the leaders. I am so much into this. That's the dancer I am as a follower. That's the dancer I am. I am when I dance with someone. I am decoding their dance, by the end of one song. I can sense. Or I can decode. Oh, sorry, guys.
The personality.
The structure that the person this dancer uses, and it does. So this is the structure of his dance. No, his personality. Nothing esoteric.
Sorry.
It's just decoding the dance that they use, right? So, how do they open? Do they close sequences? Do they turn more to the right? When do they change directions usually? When which side do they do? Do they do alteration? You know, like...
You find patterns.
Exactly. As a matter of fact. Absolutely. In my favorite dances, because I am this is the way I dance, right? Of course, I am very excited about a comfortable embrace. Absolutely. But because I am this type of dancer, right, that loves having this conversation, like, and expand, just like when you play your music, you're interested in hearing a new chord or a new... You're excited when that happens, right? You like this this element of novelty, right? For me...
Because it's a new sound.
It's a new sound, but it fits, and you know, maybe you don't know where it came from, but you know where it fits. And, you know, this is my favorite dancers that I dance with, you know. Like, sure, the embrace is important, the comfort and the technique. But sometimes I dance with not so comfortable leaders, but that challenge my perception of their structure. It's like, oh, you speak it like that, huh? Oh, that's very... Oh, I never thought of that. Like, this is in my mind what is happening as I am dancing. And I love adjusting to it. And because I know the possibilities, how can I follow best his way of composing? This is my challenge when I dance. I love dancing like that. This is my favorite. So I will say that I encourage... To both, not only to the leaders, to the dancers who like to dance the role of the man. I also encourage anyone who would like to dance the role of the follower to understand this deeply, to study this. I have to apologize. I don't know that many teachers that I can recommend, right? Of course, I recommend my teachers, right? And they teach online, by the way. I'm like totally promoting okay. They
teach online. This was a promotional part.
Exactly, the promotional part to my teachers. They didn't ask me for this. I just.
I do not get any money for this.
Exactly, I don't get any money for this. But I really encourage both to go deep into understanding how the dance is built, and particularly. The dancers who do the one to dance the role of the woman, because somehow it's been lost. I don't know how or why. Like that the follower is just being taken, you know, and
and seduced.
Just, and yes, and moved, and I just follow. I hear this often. I just follow. And it's like, wow. This is why it's hard for me to use the word follower anymore. It's because, oh yeah, that's right. You're called follower. You just follow, right? No, I think there is such thing to know. To begin with, I think that we move our own bodies as the role of the woman, and we understand the possibilities. So we know, we should know how to move and where to go because we know the possibilities, not just because we are taken somewhere. I don't know if that makes sense in the way I'm saying it, but I do encourage this for both. And this is the work that we do with Giselle, and this is what we're trying to bring to have even the dancers who do the role of the men to look at the dance like that, to look at the dance as, ah, there is such thing that my follower or my partner, I'll use the word follower now, should know to speak this dance together. There is such thing as, not only technically, sure, your axis, your rotation, your dissociation, your extension, your foot pointing, your that's technical. But then, there are two directions, great. There is a code of walking, and I know it. There are five changes of direction, some say six. Anyways, there are all these possibilities I know as a follower as well. So this I encourage a lot.
So it is possible as a normal tango social dancer as I am to satisfy you in a milonga, provided that you would dance with me in a milonga, and you're not only longing for superstars and great tango escenario dancers also on the dance floor, on the pista, in normal milongas.
Of course, absolutely. And by the way, when I talk about the complexity of a composition, I definitely do not refer to tango escenario, which I love tango escenario too. I love every tango style, really. I can, in many, it doesn't mean I'm good at all of them, but I am so open to any style, you name it. If there is one that I don't know, I want to learn it, right? And I will only do it on my level. But anyways, point is that when I talk about the complexity of the dance and the composition, I'm definitely not talking about tango escenario. I'm not talking about lift and these figures that we learn, lift and colgadas. I'm talking about using the walking, the code of walking, forward, side, back, in different variations, different angles. This is the use, the complex use of. Of course, the figures also include. It also includes the figures, but no, it doesn't have to be. That's number one. I want to say that first, clarifying that when I said complexity in the composition, I don't mean flamboyant, beautiful, by the way, tango escenario. Yes, absolutely. I enjoy. First off, I do dance with people, meaning.
Okay. Yeah.
I do dance with people. I do dance. I didn't see you in the
normal
milongas. I didn't see you in the milongas this weekend. So no, I do dance. I do dance. I dance with many. I dance with. Well, the tango the milonga the tango dance. Social dance has this thing that I don't know. I don't want to say it a problem, but it has a thing that makes it limited for dancing with many people, which is the tandas, right? The tandas are what, 15 minutes or so, 12, 15 minutes. And there is so many people in the milonga. Sometimes we are not dancing all of them. So you can only dance with so many people. So one of the things that I do when I have a weekend of workshops only with me and say my partner, or I do say to leaders, I already say ahead of time, I apologize and I say I will dance one song so that I can dance with as many people as possible. And sometimes this is not well received because, you know, I don't respect the tanda, blah, blah, blah. But when I feel comfortable in some, for example, I teach in a lot of retreats, right? So kind of like close environment. And I ask for permission, and if I get a yes, and if I tend to do that. So I can dance with as many people as possible, almost everyone, if I dance only one song, right? Or two, maximum, right? But if I dance a full tanda, it's a little bit more difficult. It's like the night finish and I only dance with four or five people because in between being super tired and talking with other people, and the night finish, right? But I do dance, okay? Then lastly, I want to say that I really would like to bring this across. I don't mean that a no complex composition dance is not pleasant. I don't mean this at all. So a dance that has simple composition, meaning not so complex structure, is just as pleasant. It's just simpler in composition. And I don't mean to be, giving it less value. It's just simpler, right? So absolutely, yes. The answer is yes to your question, basically. Absolutely. I dance regularly with people of all types of composition. Simpler to more complex.
Can be very exciting to play simple things. Again, compared with the blues guitar.
Absolutely.
You play it just two tones and
absolutely.
Not a chain of tones. And these two tones are really giving you the world
absolutely,
of the music.
Yes.
Yeah, and I experienced that some while ago where I danced with a woman. We understood each other very, very well during the tanda. I could feel it immediately. And I think the second tanda, I almost only walked with her. No ocho, no hero, just walking and standing and again walking. And I must say this was, I think, more exciting than anything else.
Totally.
It was great.
I agree with
you. It gave me
you.
The goose bumps.
I agree with you. And that's the duende that I talked about earlier, that sometimes this fleeting, I don't know what, thing that just the moment, which I strive to find it myself, right? I just think.
What are you looking for when you dance socially with some guy who can more or less dance? What are you expecting most out of this if you don't know this guy and is entirely new? I mean, he looks good, so that's the prerequisite, of course. But what are you looking for in a real normal social dance when you're not a teacher but you're just an attendee of the whole milonga? I mean, thinking of there are three pillars of in tango, in dancing tango. The technique, of course, should be there. The connection, and not to dance with anyone else but with you as a partner.
Yeah.
And the third one is the musicality.
Completely.
We did not talk about musicality so far. But if you enter the after cabecilla, mirada, and so on, and first embrace, what is it that you expect mainly when you dance tango socially?
Socially and not socially. This is even when I am practicing with someone, with my partner or so. I don't know. For me, somehow, okay, maybe I can put it aside with the performance, right? So a performance when I am showing something. That I can put, okay, maybe this is different, right? But socially, I still think of myself as a professional dancer dancing socially, okay? Meaning I don't do less. I'm still bringing all of my years of experience to the embrace, right? So that I want to say, number one. Comfort is crucial. Comfort is crucial. And the position of the embrace, the way the embrace is taken, when I am trusted that I can move myself instead of being moved, you know, like,
that so you decide about the distance in the embrace.
And more than anything, I wish is something understood, right? That, but of course we cannot assume everyone understand this, right? But I do like to think that the leader understands that I can hold myself and I can hug at the same time, right? So there is such way of connecting and hugging, but not being grabbed and pulled and pushed, right? So for me, it's comfort. I do look for that a lot, definitely. Of course, I also do look, priorities, I think I will put the comfort first. Definitely the musicality. Mm. If it is as simple as stepping on the beat, and you know, but definitely the musicality. And of course, if we can go past just listening to the beat, even better, right? Because every tango has a beat. If you take the melody and the phrases off of it, you can just play a metronome. Okay, I don't know. Like, it's okay. Okay, I need that. I need to step on the metronome, right? Meaning, that would be nice. But I would love it if we can go past that, to listen to that specific tango. Okay, here comes the melody. The phrases, the way... Okay, so the singer just started. Can we express...
Different instruments,
yes,
during the same song? Switch from one to the other one.
That's fabulous. Yeah.
Or also keep to one instrument only the whole time. It's also very exciting.
They're all valid. Absolutely. Yeah. And as you said, the composition, the structure that the dancer uses doesn't have to be complex. Of course, it adds. It does add. I won't lie to you. I won't lie to you that it doesn't like just bring this like excitement to me when there is comfort, and then there is this like, oh wow, this dancer listens to the music, to this specific tango, not just to the beat in every tango, and wow, he also takes his time to compose it, like to feels completely different one song from another. You know what I mean? Like in this one song, we never did a full turn to the right because the music didn't tell him that's what we should do. I don't know. Like, so I'm interested in this. I don't know if it is the order, but I want to say, you just asked me this question. I never had to answer this question, but it may be the order that I will choose: comfort and embrace, and trusting that I can use my own, I can move my body, right? Musicality, whatever level, if it passes, just stepping on the beat, awesome. And then the composition, using the structure of the dance and like taking its time. We don't have to let the dance happen to us because there is a song and there are a bunch of beats and we have to do something. We don't have to do something. We can take pauses and think and compose. I think that this is sometimes the thing that maybe I'm trying this answer, but sometimes the dance happens to us, you know, like almost as we said before, as a muscle memory, kind of like it just happens to us, right? I find it that if we come to the present, kind of like, okay, pausing and maybe and listening to the possibilities of my follower, if I am the leader, it just maybe it changes the composition sometimes. And we, I'm putting quotations mark, control the composition instead of the dance just happening to us. I don't know if that makes any sense, mm-hmm, in that sense. But I think that taking the time for that is a way to open the possibility to new ways of expressing one same song, new ways of expressing it. Yeah, I think so.
New ways. I don't know how long do you dance now, Tango Argentino, but do you see that the dance, the social dance now, of course, is there any progress? Did Tango Argentino already change from when you started with it to now? And do you think I have the idea, a rough idea of what will Tango Argentino look like in 20 years?
I think that...
I mean, there was a progress from 100 years ago. The movements have been, I think, different from now.
Yeah.
No colgadas, no volcadas, and so on and so on. But could you experience some or feel there is a trend to which Tango Argentino turns at the moment?
That's a great question, because there is such thing as waves of trend in Tango Argentino since I started, definitely. 2008, I think I started. Yes, there is. I'm not so sure where it is at the moment. And the reason why I think that is, like, there was a period where it was more exploratory. Like, I remember even, I can say that when I started, like, 2008 I started, but until like 2012, a little bit more even, I sensed there was, it was exploratory. Like, it's also, it could be, and I think I do appreciate, I don't know if this is the right word, but I'm going to use it and see what happens, right? The evolution of a dance, right? I don't know if it needs to be revolution, right? I don't know. Mm. Like, if and what do I mean by revolution, right? But let's use evolution and see what happens, right? Because I think that with that exploratory episode, it was a period of time. Maybe we lost other things, which is very normal, I think, you know, when you're so into something, exploring, and maybe you go too far and you lost where we were coming from. And the new dancers, the dancers that were just starting at the time, thought, okay, this is Tango Argentino, and it was this, like, you know. And then eventually we needed to come back to this, like, okay, let's come to the embrace, you know, let's come a little bit closer again and see if we can, like, make it a little bit smaller, everything, and find the comfort there. So I don't know where we are now. Maybe by saying this, I am going to answer it. I am not excited as I was for a long time at that time to look for couples that are, you know, like, to me, I haven't found, like, something new, right? And that really, there is this one couple that I really, really like. This is Clarissa and Jonathan. I really like that mix that they are finding. They are finding this closeness, but also this, you know, exploratory elements of it.
I think they're relatively often in Europe.
Yes, they are often. And I think that says something, right? So, but I haven't seen anything, you know, like, I haven't gotten inspired. I'm sorry to say this. I hope this doesn't sound so bad to me. And it's almost like we got stuck somewhere, I think. And I don't know where. Like, I don't have the answer for that. I am always looking for exploratory, without losing the essence, or the let's call it the tradition, the traditional element, right? I think that is our challenge as teachers, and as I say, our challenge to everyone, right? But the teachers are the ones that are bringing this around, and, you know, in a way, the performers also, in a way, I don't know. But I think that is our challenge, and I don't know, I include myself, I don't know if we are doing a good job. I cannot say it's a yes, because it should how do you say, we should see the results in the level of dancing, for example, and are people, are the dancers evolving? That's basically your question. But again, it's such a hard thing to know what exactly, what direction is evolution?
No, it's just a stomach feeling.
Right, know? Right. I can't say we are for a couple of years now, and I don't know what we need really, right? Open mind always helps. Always helps. Even find out what you don't like, you know, to try different things, to study from different way of dancing and see. I don't know. I also don't know how much social dancers are studying. I do know. I mean, there. Not to speak badly in regards to marathons, right? But people are dancing a lot, right? That doesn't mean what type. Well, bad, better. It doesn't mean it's dancing more, right? So dancing a lot. I don't know if there is studying a lot, like going back to study with someone, you know? And to me, I'm trying to think if there is anything else that will help, but to me that helps. It's the main thing, to study at any level you are, to try a new way.
That's the great thing with tango. It's a lifelong learning.
Absolutely.
It never stops. There's never no stops. Light in the end. Not even for people like Chicho Rinpoche and whatever.
There's no end.
Yeah.
There is no end.
But there is an end. So some people... out of any... I don't know why, but today in the morning... I read a study about a survey done in the USA, about 600 participants, why I quit tango.
Ah, okay.
And main reasons, I think about 60% women and about 40% men have been asked why they quit. Also, they have been asked about why they started the tango and so on, and then also why they quit. And as you might guess, the reason was not tango music is boring or I don't like this way of communication with another person or people are stinking or whatever. Main reasons are I don't like sitting in a milonga and nobody asks me for dance doing the cabeceo. Even the tango teachers do not dance with their students. They just dance amongst each others, but not with their students for years and years and years. I was in Buenos Aires for 3 and 4 times, and the teachers there have been very happy with me, and they say that I'm on good way and I'm a good dancer. And when I returned, specifically, I think, to San Francisco, it should, as far as I read in this survey, it's a con of a lot of tribes, obviously. Then I'm back into not dancing anything.
Yeah.
So I quit tango and now got back to Lindy Hop and blues dance because the community is so different, or salsa or whatever stuff. How do you see this phenomenon of learn something which is really tough to learn and then not being able to do it because you need a second person for this, and if there's no second person for you, then you're really sitting any longer looking into the air, having a drink or two and going home, and you're angry. Is this a phenomenon which is really worldwide visible also in Buenos Aires, or is it Buenos Aires different? What can be done against it? Because in the end it's a individual decision of a leader to look at a woman and not only for greeting her but also for asking to dance. And if leaders only want to dance with young beautiful women, disregarding about their technique and ability of dancing tango and skipping all the other women, then is tango an elite dance? Is tango something just for a clique, for VIPs only, and that's it?
That's a great question. You know, it's a. I know that it is a problem. I see it all over. It is true. You know, and I it does not surprise me that that's the reason why there is a quitting in tango. I want to mention an experience. My partner and I work quite a bit in the UK, but not in London, but outside of London, like all this Reading and like Wales, North Wales. You know? And one phenomenon and I want to say already, they dance with each other. They are dancing all night long, right? So they dance with everyone. Dance with everyone is what I mean, right? And I was like, wow, I love working. The environment is so beautiful, and I love this is my favorite part to work, and only happens once a year, and I look forward to this. And it's like, why? And then I realized they come from a different dance. These are communities where they did another dance already, right? And it's usually either jibe, I don't know, jibe, or balboa, or, you know, these other dances, where and then I go, okay, yes, these dances are simpler in structure. The structure of these dances is not as complex as in tango. Technically, well, we can debate, you know, some can
balboa can be really complicated.
Right. And it can also be, it could also be technically complicated, you know what I mean? So I wanted to say that it was that. So this is addressing the part that you're saying, is it tango an elite dance, right? So I don't want to say, like many tango dancers say, that is, you know, the most complex. And it's complex. It's, yes, it is difficult as well. Yes, but I don't know. I don't know if this is a reason. But then just looking a little bit deeper, the rules, the social rules of these other dances is that you dance one song. It's not tanda built, right? You dance one song. And the other rule is that women can also ask, and there is such thing as a verbal ask and so on, right? I'm not saying that we should change the ways tango works. I'm not suggesting that. But if we look at what makes these other dances a little bit more accessible and more, they quit less, you know, they quit less. What is it that makes them quit less? And we can name all these other reasons. We can say, okay, technically less, I don't know, maybe less complex, I don't know, structurally less complex, it could be that. But it could also be the rules of the social rules, you know, this thing where it's a different environment socially, like the welcoming type of, you know, who is asking who, only one song. So therefore, if it is not a great dance, it's only a couple more minutes, two or three. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I have the feeling it could lay in that aspect. It could. Now, how to solve it with tango? How to make this better with tango? I don't have the answer. I don't. But like, for example, there is one thing. I am part of the community in Denver, Colorado, right? And in Colorado, there is an association. It's called Tango Colorado, and there is a president, and every teacher of the community is part of this association if they want, right? And they are invited to teach every month. Every teacher can come and teach in this main. It's the biggest night of the Denver at the moment, and it has been for a long time. The biggest night is the night of Tango Colorado. Everyone has their own events here and here and here and here. But because this association brought everyone to it, it's the biggest night. Because everyone comes, the student of this person, the student of this person, everyone comes to that event because it's, what would I say? It's a common ground, you know, even if there is factions, you know, yeah, how, you know.
Schools and
exactly. I don't like you. Here, we came, you know, it's a, ¿cómo se dice? No es un campo de batalla. It's just not a battlefield, okay? It's like, there is this understanding that it's not a battlefield, right? And I don't know if that phenomenon makes no factions, like no my friends and I dance with my friends, and now these your friends and you dance with your friends. You know what I mean? This is very common. I find this everywhere in tango, in the tango communities, where you go with your friends and you dance with your friends, like, and that's it, right? And in Denver seems to be not like that. And I think maybe this is one way. And there is something that they do since ages now. The community dance, they call it, right? So it's one full tanda of four tangos, right? Where the followers line up in one side, the leaders line up in the other, and you make a queue, right? A queue, like one after, and then you come in the middle and you dance with the person that came right there to the end of the line. You don't know who is going to, you're going to end up dancing. So you do this for four songs. So it's a way to dance one song. This is a point, right? One song with everyone.
Instead of a tanda loca.
It's fair enough a tanda. But you get to meet, maybe you dance with someone you thought look horrible, but all of a sudden felt so good. Yeah. Or maybe you dance with someone who, I don't know, you know, like, that mingles a little, and then so I don't know if things like that could be an answer to, like, breaking these patterns. But I want to say that in Argentina it's no different. I mean, I hope someone has a different experience and can refute this, but I think it's even worse. I think it's even worse over there. It's like you have to go with your group if you want to have a good time there. And I don't, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just the nature of the dance. And I hope it's not because it's an elite dance. I don't want to say it is an elite dance. Yes, it has, it's difficult. It takes some, you know, it takes commitment. But I wish it's not an elite dance. And I wish we didn't do that. But I don't know what the answer is. I'm just giving you these examples because I know that it works for these different communities, and it does make a difference. It does make a difference. There is women dancing more, right? Mm. And we keep they keep the cabeceo. I say they because I'm in and out of that community. It's still my community. We keep the cabeceo, but we also are, you know, we also do say, save me a dance. You know, we use verbal, we do, and we try to do. Just basically, it's like whatever makes the experience of a social dance better, you know. I don't know other than this. In this thing of, I do want to say something about the teachers, right? Because I can only speak, of course, of my experience, right? It does not mean that we don't want to dance. I mean, sometimes the teachers don't always just go to the milonga and that's the first time they put their shoes on and take the embrace. This is not the first time in the days, for sure, I guarantee you. Maybe one of them, right? So especially the ones who take for their living. And if it is a woman with heels, that's not the first time she put the heels. I tell you, and sometimes, and also, usually it's not the first city if we are visiting instructors, right? It's not the first city we just arrive. And, you know, like I think that sometimes the community or the people forget this fact. It takes a lot of physical effort. Sometimes we are super tired. Sometimes we are injured, a lot of us, right? Or we are recovering from an injury and we have to take care of our bodies. And I particularly really have a hard time. It breaks my heart to say no. So sometimes I have to not look around just so that I reject the because I'm tired, you know. So I do want to also, I agree with it. I agree that there are teachers that I know that just simply don't dance so much around, and it would be nicer. But sometimes I understand them because it's like we've been already moving all day long. This is not the first milonga we came to, and tomorrow we have to continue, and we can only do maybe 3 tandas. But again, the problem of the tanda, that's only 3 people. And then this is 3 people out of, what, 50 that were there looking and expecting to dance with the teacher. What do we do, you know? So I don't know. Like, I don't know. That's a hard one.
I could listen to you endlessly, but it's not possible, and you need to leave now in a few minutes. We did not talk about you and your life in writing, choreography, singing. You're a singer also. You did photos, and I really wait for a calendar with these images I've seen on the website, because it's a loss if these pictures are only on the website. I would like to have it in my office, maybe on the wall. We did not talk about your concept of bio tensegrity and tango tensegrity and so on. So this is maybe hopefully up for another episode here. But my final question is the most difficult one. If you think of Tango Argentino, what does come into your mind is in way of a sound, of a figure, of something materialized, soft or hard or edgy or round or golden shimmering or whatever. What if you just think, or is it a feeling, if you think of Tango Argentino, what comes into your mind from the very beginning?
I have to say the word beauty, the concept of beauty. I think that it could be because this is my quest, right? So if it wasn't tango, probably would have been something else, because I'm striving for I feel I want to be a worker of beauty, right? And tango does it for me, definitely. Like, not only visually, but the sensation of beauty. Like, the embrace is... It contains the beauty of communication without words, right? But with all the elements of communication that we found with words, to me, it has all that beauty. And I'm going to sound cliche, but the poetry, right? It's like, you know, poetry is words, right? So this is how we know poetry, words, because that's how we can best describe, again, scribe. We are so word oriented that everything had to, all our description has to has to fit the world of the word. But to find that physically, that beauty physically, yeah, that's what tango does for me. Beauty, really beauty.
That's great final words of that episode. Thank you very much, Diana, for having you here. And I really hope that we can experience you and your emanating way of spreading love to tango and to everybody else again soon.
Thank you.
Very
it
much.
Was a true pleasure. I mean, the time flew chatting with you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the great conversation, truly.